two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
BYU, Washington State.
Goes for Puka, back shoulder, end zone, makes the catch. Did he get a foot down? Touchdown!
You're listening to extended pregame coverage from KSLSports.com and KSL News Radio.
Welcome back in to extended pregame coverage. Matt Biamonte and Mitch Harper getting you ready for Washington State and BYU. Such an interesting matchup. It was always going to be an interesting matchup because you had the run and shoot offense that Rolovich brought over from Hawaii against a BYU team, which is still, I think there are the ingredients there for a great offense. It just hasn't all come together in one game. And so this would have been a great measuring stick. But then you throw in the vaccine mandate in which Nick Rolovich did not comply with, which led to him being dismissed, along with other coaches, and one of them being a former BYU coach and offensive line coach, Mark Weber. So it's this storyline is full of, or this game, I should say, is just full of interesting storylines, and it's going to make for a challenge for BYU. Let's just put a bow on the Nick Rolovich storyline as we actually dive into the nitty-gritty of the game. How do you feel about Washington State making that move, Mitch?
You know, I think that it's a difficult situation to think that a college football coach is losing their job over a personal choice to not get a vaccine. It's a crazy time we live in. But I think they had to do it, though. I do, because what he was doing, I think, with the media, the timeline from Pac-12 Media Day to when he got let go, he was so stubborn and nonchalant about it. And you got to remember, too, Nick Rolovich, he had an issue with a player last year that was looking to maybe join the Pac-12 athlete group that was a movement to try to get TV revenue dollars, a cut. Remember, this was before NIL, and there was a little bit of a conversation where he was not being completely kind and supportive to that student-athlete who happened to also be a minority athlete. So that was there for Nick Rolovich. And then you pair up last season where he said a comment, I'm not worried about coronavirus, I don't care about that, something to that effect, in a post-game press conference when asked how many players were out. And then his team had to literally shut down operations for 2 weeks. So those factors paired with the refusal to get the vaccine. Because the thing is that I think if he had intel or he had information that prevented him from getting it, why not share it with everyone and let people know, like, this is why I'm not doing it? Because I think he would have been a more sympathetic character in all of this had he maybe been more open as to why he's not getting it. But to just kind of quietly, and I know maybe that was probably strategic because maybe he knew this is where it was going to go. And now he's reportedly lawyering up and suing Washington State. I think that maybe he knew this is where it was going, but had he been more open as to why he was doing this and taking this road, I think he would have been a more sympathetic figure. And I think that I don't think he took into account the lives that he's impacting, these student athletes, the coaches, now all of his coaching staff, the ones that haven't been dismissed, their jobs are on the block now. They might not have jobs next year. So I think Washington State, though, they probably had to do it with his track record in previous situations,
yeah,
as well.
I agree on that standpoint from just the – Because when you look at it, you could easily say this was a one-time thing. It had built up to this. Yeah. And so from that perspective, I think it does make sense that Washington State kind of got forced in this corner. However, I do think it's tough to lose your job over this when, you know, he was wearing a mask on the sidelines. He was wearing a mask in all the places you're supposed to when you can't socially distance. And so from that perspective, I think it's hard where there's not options for someone to, you know, in his case, he was saying it was a religious thing. Yeah. It was a religious thing that was preventing him from getting the vaccine. Whether you agree with that or not, that's up to you. But that's why he didn't do it. And there was no alternative for, there was no accommodation. And I think it's just hard, especially in this country, Mitch, America, where it's the land of the, you know, I can't even remember the expression now, but land of the free, home of the brave. I hope that's the expression. But, you know, freedom is what this country has been founded on, and there wasn't an option here to still comply with wearing a mask and being socially distant. It was do this or hit the road, and he hadn't hit the road. So it's an incredibly difficult and sensitive situation. I'm not advocating for or against, and, you know, I don't want that to be the case, but these situations have become so complex and so difficult in the country right now, in the political place that we live. It's just hard. I don't think that there is a right answer one way or the other.
I just come down to, I would be hard pressed to lose a $3 million a year job. I'm getting that vax. I'm getting it. Like, I got vaccinated. Not that this is going to be some PSA for vaccinations here,
right.
But I mean, that's a $3 million salary. And he just sacrificed that. That guy might not ever coach again. And this was something that I would just be fascinated to know his line of thinking. Not that he owes that to anyone, but it cost you your job. Had he maybe publicly expressed his reasoning behind it, then we could have had a greater understanding as to
why.
Why?
Right.
And because right now it just came off as just stubborn. I don't want to deal with coronavirus, because that's what he was saying last season when his team had outbreaks. And I think those factors paired up with what he was saying this year, after the mandate was put into effect and him missing Pac-12 Media Day, it just wasn't a good look. And now, you know, he hits the road, as you said, he's going to be suing Washington State going forward. BYU's on the road, where last week they had a ton of struggles in a great environment down in Texas at Baylor. But on the road once again, can BYU learn anything from what took place last week against Baylor and try to get it fixed today against the Rolovich-less Washington State Cougars?
That's such a hard question. I don't know, because here's the thing. I think the answers are, and maybe BYU fans aren't going to like this, injuries. Because you look at the numbers that Jaren Hall put up, they were good. And offensively, I think that they played well enough to win the game. But when you get down that far and defensively you can't make a stop, then what can you do? But then it's like, okay, well, other than scheme, and maybe you sell out the blitz a little bit more or sell out the run a little bit earlier than they did in the Baylor game, is the personnel there to execute? And like, one thing that I think I learned from the Baylor game is the Keenan Peely loss, Mitch, is way more significant than anyone realized, because he was a great tackling linebacker. He was great in the run game. And if he was there, Chaz Ayu's not getting moved to linebacker. There's not all this shuffling. So what did I learn? I learned that these injuries are a serious toll, and I don't know if it can be overcome.
I learned that Jaren Hall is an awesome quarterback, and people need to back off.
Yes.
They need to stop. The slander of Jaren Hall, I know it's not everyone. It's a vocal minority, but it's a very vocal one. Stop it. Stop it right now. Jaren Hall is your starting quarterback, and that man deserves to be the starting quarterback. The deep connection between him and Puka Nacua, I feel like we could see that on display with Neil Powell, with Gunnar Romney, any one of these receivers. Oh, by the way, you also have Samson Nacua as well. This was Kalani Sitake earlier in the week as to what he learned from that loss to Baylor.
Well, we knew what they were going to try to do, which is establish the run game. I know Grimey and his personality and what he wants to try to establish, the identity as an offense, and that's to run the ball. And we couldn't stop it on defense, and that really bugs me. So we've got to figure out a way to do it. And I'm more disappointed and frustrated with the fundamentals of the game and the technique I am, rather than the scheme or anything. I mean, we had 11 guys out there playing, but I don't think we tackled well enough. I don't think we got off blocks, and I don't think we're physical enough. So defensively, you need to be more physical, and that's surprising to hear, but we also need to get some guys back and some leadership to take ownership of the defensive front.
It is surprising to hear that physicality is being questioned, because that was a hallmark of what BYU did in those wins over Utah and Arizona State. Okay, we got to take a break. BYU, they got to also, real quick, prevent giving up 303 rushing yards. Don't let that happen today against Washington State. We're breaking it down. BYU and Washington State, extended pregame coverage, KSL News Radio, and it's powered by KSLSports.com.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.